Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfupi on Kaya 959.
Pivot Point. Kaya Biz.
Indeed, you're still listening to Kaya Biz at exactly 14 minutes to go before the 7 o'clock mark here on Kaya 959. Well, we continue to expand on our focus for this first hour of the show, really being fundamental to the business environment that we see in South Africa and seeking clarity in terms of the efforts that have been provided in order to get South Africa back on track to a sense of greater economic recovery. And we do this by speaking to a woman who is a force within the business community in South Africa, a distinguished leader with reputation as a leader within South Africa's business world, especially within the investment circles. Not only is she the co-founder of Whiphold, an investment group, but also recently chaired the President's Solidarity Fund, which was really established in a bid to address some of the economic challenges we would experience as a ripple effect of this pandemic. This evening, we're joined by Mam Gloria Serobe. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Mam Gloria.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Indeed, we're quite excited to speak to you and really learn a few lessons as well from your career and your journey. But I guess the best place for us to often start is in the now and perhaps reflecting on the environment that we're in more than a year on since the advent of this particular pandemic. Perhaps share with us some insight following the establishment of the Solidarity Fund and just how much of an impact it's made within South Africa's economy.
Of the COVID has been quite devastating to the South African economy. It also found us already in a weak spot because the country had just been declared a junk status, quite a serious thing to be in. And then we are loaded with the COVID, which is really all over the world. We are no different from any other parts of the world, but it found us in a weak position. And so our recovery is going to be much, much harder than most countries, because we were supposed to be on the recovery space anyway. And so we got this layer. Then while we're still mumbling and fidgeting with that, then you've got the KZN and Gauteng unrest, which is almost like still a bit cursed, to be honest. But South Africans don't know those hardships. Yes. They know what to do with them.
Exactly.
One is not despondent, yeah.
We certainly can't be despondent. And maybe that takes me to perhaps engage further in terms of unpacking how the Solidarity Fund did come on board to really drive an impact, not in terms of procuring vaccinations, but also assisting businesses that might have found themselves out of kilter on the back of the pandemic. Are you able to quantify the kind of contributions that have been raised and distributed?
Well, because the fund is now, how old now? It's more than a year, right?
Yes,
18 months. And we've had reports and reports being thrown out in terms of what exactly we've done. But naturally, the big heavy lifting was on the health response side. We had to do all manner of things there. We had to help with the testing. We had to help with the... Because the whole program is a government program. The Solidarity Fund is augmenting that. And some of the things we do are directed by whether the government needs support where, and we respond in that way.
Mm.
For example, the vaccine program is 100% the government program, and ours is to what we do around the rollout, the vaccine rollout. For example, when we now talk about the low take-up of the vaccines, now that they are here, it worries us because at some stage we're worried about not having vaccines. Now we have to worry about what makes people not follow through and do what they have to do. And one doesn't want to place it all on the doors of the anti-vaxxers or whatever you call them. And the bulk of it is our communication to people about what this vaccine meant, what does it mean to them, why are we doing it, what's the difference if you are vaccinated or not vaccinated. And those messages, as a Solidarity Fund, we have to be part of that communication. Rural, urban, townships everywhere, wealthy people, poor people, same thing. Because the pandemic itself is unique. Nobody has ever experienced it. And so everything about it is an experiment.
Yep.
And maybe that is what one wants to stress about COVID. Mm. Everything we're doing is a pilot. Everything we're doing is an experiment because we've never seen it before and the whole world has never seen it before. So you can't pick up a phone and phone so-and-so and say, how did you do it? and circumstances are going to be different country to country.
Yes.
And our circumstances are different. For example, our rural communities are difficult to access. We have to be deliberate about how the access to vaccine, for example. Unlike other parts of the world where the access is not an issue, our special arrangement in South Africa is different.
Certainly.
So we're dealing with different things, but the same thing, but different circumstances.
Indeed. Mom Gloria, I'm also keen to expand on your views, given that you've been within the business environment for decades on end now and have certainly built up quite a reputation for yourself. This also speaks to your leadership lessons and leadership capabilities that you've had to learn, adapt and evolve along the way. You highlighted something so important a moment ago. The trust deficit that exists within South Africa's social compact is one that we've been hearing about potentially since the dawn of democracy. I'm keen to understand your views as a business leader in South Africa, and given your leadership, how best do you believe we need to address this trust deficit in order to propel us to being aligned in terms of the economic growth and recovery we'd like to experience in the country?
I think the issue of the trust deficit is a function of where we all come from. We all come from different places, right?
True.
Remember now that we stayed in different places, either is in the suburbs, either in the townships, either in the rural areas. And the deliberate separation of these people is that even as I wish to address something, I don't know how those people live. And so the trust deficit comes from, I'm going to quickly default to what I know, even as I solve things, even when I have the position of power and authority. And so trust deficit is fed by the information deficit. And so if I gave you an example about when we talk about food relief,
yes,
for example, most NGOs know how to get to townships, maybe how to get to suburbs. But 38% of the country is rural. They don't know how to get that food to the rural areas. And the best people you can deal with to do that is to work with the traditional leaders. They are the ones in the rural areas. They are the ones who live with these communities. And so if you don't do that, you have an information deficit yourself because you don't know how to solve that problem.
True.
But then they sit on that side and say, you know, all the programs of South Africa don't reach rural areas. And then there's lack of trust.
Yes.
When in fact, it is lack of information as to how to make it work. So I think where I'm sitting is that this trust deficit thing is going to be dealt with a lot of talking and a lot of doing and a lot of trying to do the right things. Because we all come from all manner of places, and it is possible that we don't trust each other from beginning, but we can by doing one or two things, but behind that is a lot of communication.
Ongoing
if
engagement.
I do not know what to do with Limpopo because I come from Cape Town, I have to hear from people from Limpopo how they live.
Yes.
I mustn't bring Sam to Limpopo when actually they need me. This is the information thing that one has to deal with. The minuteness, the detail of those things are very important. Mm-hmm. But you have to show interest in other people's lives. And it's an information thing for me, more than the trust deficit thing. Even business, between business and government, they have to talk some more. Luckily, COVID forced that.
Mm-hmm.
Business and government are talking very closely together now because they are confronted by a horrible thing that is just hitting everybody left and right. So government and business have to do a lot more of that, even more so than now, because the trust deficit is just based on lack of discussion and lack of communication.
Certainly. If you've just joined us for this conversation, you're listening to Kaya 959, and we are speaking to Gloria Serobe, who is not only the co-founder of Wiphold, but also the chair of the Solidarity Fund. We are evaluating not only the current economic landscape in South Africa, addressing the challenges that we face, but also now going to reflect on her journey. As we're well aware, Trump, Gloria, you've been a firm advocate for increasing the participation of women within our economy. Hence how WIPHOLD was founded together with WIP Capital to make sure that we actually direct investment towards women empowerment. August and Women's Month has come and gone, but yet we know that the mandate for gender parity and pay parity certainly does remain going forward. I'm keen to view your insight as to what elements do need to be addressed further to make sure that women remain active participants of South Africa's economy, especially in light of the pandemic where we have seen the majority of women being left by the wayside. If we reflect on the latest unemployment figures, where young black females, unfortunately, have been the worst impacted by this pandemic. What are your thoughts?
I think earlier on, one would have maybe understood if the captains of industry were confused about what are the possibilities of women adding value to their businesses. South Africa has been a big advocate of women empowerment. Our gender policy is very, very strong. And I have to say, government has acted on this. They speak loudly about it, more than other countries, to be honest. So we have had the experience now of sitting in the boardrooms, and they can see what value women can add to their entities. Today, I actually think that it's a weak CEO who doesn't think he needs women in his team. And because women have shown what they can add to the bottom line. Everybody needs the bottom line, right?
True.
Women have shown how they can make a difference to that bottom line. People have stayed in places where they can make the biggest changes, whether in the board or in the executive structures and all of that. So in effect, take the stock exchange. The chairman is a woman. The CEO is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the stock exchange is running very well. It's not falling. So I think for any captain of industry today to still be ambivalent about this thing of women, that's a CEO you don't want to have, because women can have shown that they can actually make it work.
Indeed. We're looking for progressive leadership and making sure that there's full incorporation of all genders
involved. Any CEO that still needs to be convinced today about women can make a difference, that's not the CEO you want to have.
Certainly not. Mom Gloria, thank you so much for your time. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there for today, but we're appreciative of the insights you've given us, not only into your journey and your thoughts about women and leadership, but also taking a look at the current economic climate in light of the pandemic, and of course, understanding how some of the structures like the Solidarity Fund have really come forward to assist with the economic deficit and challenges we've experienced in South Africa. We appreciate your time, and thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Indeed.
Bye.
That's Mom Gloria Serobe. She is the co-founder of WIPHOLD, CEO of WIP Capital, and currently the president of the Solidarity Fund, joining us as our Pivot Point guest this evening.
Pivot Point. Pivot Point. Kaya Biz. Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.